Hi, I'm Tara Lee, and welcome to Starbeing, your cosmic journey to self-discovery, higher consciousness, and spiritual exploration. This podcast serves as a guiding light, illuminating the path to wisdom, healing, and conscious living. Let Starbeing ignite your inner light as we transcend limitations and tap into the universal consciousness that unites and empowers all of us.
Welcome to episode 13, Unleash Your Potential, Living Intentionally and Fearlessly with Lara Nassessian. Lara stands as an esteemed expert in mindset and career coaching. She is dedicated to driving professionals towards extraordinary achievements. With a postgraduate degree in psychology and an extensive 15-year career in people and culture for large organizations, she possesses a wealth of experience in managing global change, mergers and acquisitions, and revitalizing brands and internal communities. This diverse background has equipped her with a profound understanding of human behavior, enabling her to effectively navigate the complexities of the corporate world and beyond. This is a special episode for me because Lara is my mentor and she has really helped me implement systems and tools and processes and routines that have allowed me to increase my efficiency and really help me utilize my time and maximize the impact that I'm wanting to make. And Lara has been particularly impactful in my corporate career, especially when it comes to communication and relationships and really elevating how I am presenting myself. So I am so excited for you to listen to this episode. If you love it, please leave me a rating and a review. This really helps the podcast gain more reach, and I would be so thankful. So I hope you enjoy this. Welcome, Lara Nassessian. I love that you are in front of me in person. This is the first day that we've met in real life. And for those that don't know, Lara is my mentor, and yeah, it's exciting to officially interview her. So welcome, Lara.
Thank you so much, Tara. I'm so excited to be here, and I cannot believe you're sitting in real life in front of me across the table. This is quite extraordinary because we've been talking on Zoom for a very long time, and to be able to meet you and have the opportunity to come on your podcast today feels like a real treat. So I'm very excited.
So I want to start with your work. And the first thing that attracted me to your work was I was looking for an expander that was doing it all. And I saw you had your corporate career at the time. You were doing your own podcast. You were maintaining your fitness. You were having a social life. You look like you're having the time of your life. And on top of that, you just always appeared this manicured version. And I said to myself, how is she doing this? And so it's interesting in my life because I like to be always having this self-growth and this development. And I saw that within you as well. And yeah, so I was always curious that how you were managing to do this. And in my life, people had always said to me, you know, maybe you need to slow down, maybe you need to stop doing this. And you were the only one when I started talking to you that was like, no, you can actually do it. You just need to be really efficient and structured with your time. So I'd love to start with a little bit of your story, Lara. What was this calling for you? How did you come to really create these systems? And yeah, what was that spark that made you find this calling?
I love that we're starting here. So for me, my journey really started a long time ago before it was manifest in terms of the form of a business or a podcast or any of the things that we see today. And I really loved the fact that I knew I could create whatever outcomes I desired in my life. Like, I knew that if I was focused, I knew that if I was disciplined, I knew that if I put my energy and my intention behind something, that I would be able to make it come into fruition. And I saw that happen from quite a young age because I didn't have the natural intelligence in the typical sense that we will, you know, judge intelligence as a society compared to, say, my brothers. I grew up in a household where I was the middle child. I was the only girl. And I had two brothers that were wildly intelligent. And I saw how easy it came to them to get really great grades and to do really well in school and to go through all these gifted and talented workshops and things like that. I didn't have that. I had to work really hard in order to get the grades. And so for me, I learned from a young age that if I want the kinds of things that I desire in my life, there is going to have to be work that I pour into it. There's got to be focus that I pour into it. And there's discipline. And they're the kinds of things that get me the results. And so that really got coded into my belief system at quite a young age. And then as I continued to grow and evolve, you know, I had done all the typical things that one is supposed to do. I had gone to school. I got the good grades. I eventually started studying psychology at university because I was always really fascinated in the human mind and human behavior and what drove people and what were the limitations of the mind, because we all have such a greater capacity than we even give ourselves credit for. And I was always really interested into why do certain people actually yield the kinds of results that they desire and others don't. And so I started studying psychology and I had this natural pull and this natural desire to just do the most. And so I knew that I could work really hard and gain certain outcomes in terms of my professional career. And that served me incredibly well because I climbed the corporate ladder. I became an executive for a $1 billion corporation. I had all the typical measures of success. And I was like, but this doesn't quite feel like it for me. And so I started getting really curious as to what would it look like if I was doing this and doing my corporate career, which I love. It's serving me well. It's allowing me the kind of lifestyle that I want to live. Like, it's giving me a certain degree of financial freedom. And if I did the thing that was also my soul's calling as well. And I didn't want to have to choose between the two at that point in my life because I wanted both of them. You know, I wanted the financial freedom and I wanted to have the kinds of things that I worked hard for, but I also wanted to really express all that I was meant to be in this lifetime as well. And I didn't feel like I was able to really express myself in that way in the corporate world, which is what really led me to going on that self-discovery journey. And then what started as a blog and a passion project then evolved into a podcast and then has now cultivated into the business that I have and that I run today. And so it's really been this like natural curiosity of like pushing the limits of what is possible for myself and why do I have to choose between one or the other? Why not run both of these things and then see where that may lead me? And that's the gateway I feel like for a lot of my clients is that sometimes they get to a certain point where they have had the career success, but there's a fulfillment piece missing. And I create that pathway for them where they can do both and see where that leads them to. And so this is the thing that I feel like most excited about. So in terms of the discipline and where that was really born from, it was the desire to want to do and have and be it all and not have to choose, because people would often say, well, you've got to choose one or the other. And I never really believed that to be true for myself. And I believe that because I held that belief that that might be your reality, but that doesn't have to be my reality. I was able to structure my life and organize my time and my focus and my energy in a way that meant I can create a life where I'm doing all the things that matter to me. Now, what are the systems, the tools, the processes that can support me in doing that? And that's where a lot of my work got born from, was cultivating elite routines and skyrocketing productivity, because I was like, we all have the same amount of time. It's how we choose to utilize it that really makes the greatest difference.
Oh, I love that so much, Lara. And it's so interesting in your work that at the core of it, I find it very spiritual, because there is this underlying quest of this self-realization, so this self-mastery, this discipline, and even around your work is around your fears and pushing past your fears. And when we look at this through our karmic lens, you know, we really want to push through our fears, because that is something that we, you know, want to get over that challenge, because that's what we're working with on that karmic level. I would love you to speak about your work around what you call unleash and about empowerment and why it's important to really master our fears and lean into them, and how you've sort of cultivated that within your life.
It's an interesting conversation to talk about fears and to talk about unleashing and what that really looks like, because I really love to stretch my mind to beyond the present moment. I love to think about the broader context of my life and what that means and what that represents. And even if we break it down just to the most, you know, fundamental, you know, you can call it scientific in terms of the actual chances and statistics of having this human experience, being we're spiritual beings having a human experience, like that concept in itself to me is mind-blowing. And so I read somewhere that the chance of being a human being in this lifetime is something like 1 in 400 trillion or something that I can't even wrap my mind around. And so the way that I really see it is we're all walking miracles. The fact that we are here having this human experience in this lifetime is a miracle in itself. And we were not put here to play small. We were not here to live a life of just wondering what everyone else is going to think about us and not ever actually express ourselves in the way that we desire to express ourselves, and then get to the end of our lifetime and say, well, that was a great life. You know, I just spent my entire life wondering what everyone else thought of me and being scared of what if I fail, and then that's my life's work. Like, that never felt good for me. And so I always love to broaden the context of what is the context of my lifetime? What am I actually here to do? And it was through asking myself these deep questions that I started to uncover really good answers. Like, what is my purpose? What am I meant to be doing? What is the unique impact that I'm supposed to be making while I'm here? And those were the questions that really led me to going on the pathway that I did. And so what I found was really interesting for me when I started to study human psychology and human behavior is how much of our behavior is driven by fear. That we will, as human beings, go to a lot of extent just to avoid the feeling of fear or the feeling of pain. And so the question then became, what would it look like if I actually stretched my capacity so that I could feel the fear and then go ahead and decide to do the things that I felt on my soul's purpose that I was destined to do? Like, what would it look like if I actually strengthened my capacity to hold more fear, more disappointment, more pain and actually see the potential upside of that, which is living a life of greatness, living a life of being able to look back one day and saying, that was one heck of a ride, you know? And so the piece that I really love to bring into this conversation is, you know, there's so much research that's been done around people that the five regrets of the dying, as an example. One of the greatest regrets is, I wish I lived a life that was true to me rather than a life of other people's expectations. And so if we know that that's the wisdom that's going to come to us at the end of our life, why not apply that wisdom to our lives today? Why do we have to wait until we're 70, 80, 90, 100 to realize that's how we're going to feel at the end of our life? I would rather feel the pain of discomfort, the feeling of discomfort, the feeling of fear now than have that feeling of regret at the end of my lifetime. So I think that so often we tend to be so consumed by the temporary fear, the temporary emotion, the temporary pain, that that's the thing that actually blocks us from doing the very things that we really want to be doing. Because I bet for anyone that's listening, like, everyone's got things on their soul's desire that they know, like, there's an intrinsic feeling that you have about, like, I know I'm here to do big things. I know I'm here to, like, make an impact in this way. You may not know exactly how to express it yet, but you may very much have that feeling and that knowing. And if you feel that, then there's a reason why you feel that. It's your truth. It's your desire. It's your unique expression. So what would it look like if you actually walked through that with courage and you said, I feel really terrified about doing this thing. This feels really scary for me, but I'm going to stretch my capacity to feel the fear and move forward and do it even when I feel scared. Because sometimes I think where we get a little bit tripped up is we think, well, I feel really scared of doing that thing, so I just won't do it at all. But there's a beautiful pathway in there of growth and evolution, of knowing everything that I want is on the other side of fear. So if I know that fear is the gateway to me attaining the kinds of things, to me creating the kinds of things and expressing myself in the way that I really want to, what would it look like if I could walk with the fear and not just say the fear doesn't exist and because the fear exists, there's something wrong or bad or I shouldn't be doing it. The body doesn't know the difference between being chased by a saber-toothed tiger and the fear of stepping on stage in front of thousands of people. Like, the physiological feeling in the body is the same. So instead of saying, well, there's a real fear of me, you know, my life is threatened. It's not threatened by you standing on stage. You may embarrass yourself. You may fumble. You may feel like a hot mess, but you're wanting to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel the pull to do it. So what I really love to get people to look at is, what are those little pulls? What are those little tugs that you feel? I know that if I was going to do this, like, there's a reason why this is on my heart's desire. What would it look like if I could walk with the fear, knowing that everything that I desire is on the other side of it? And that's a really cool concept to walk with.
I love that, Lara. And I love what you say to me often. What does going all in look like to you? You mentioned regret, which is something really interesting to me on a soul level, because it's said with our karmic path that regret, any regrets in this lifetime, is one of the biggest pulls to reincarnate and, like, start this cycle again. And so for me, on that soul growth, on that soul evolution that we're on, and I feel that you and I really share this, and Lara is a Virgo sun, so my Virgo rising and moon feels very, very comfortable with all the Virgo. So yeah, that is so interesting what you say about regret and how it's so important to maximize where we're going in our life. And that's what your work does. It really calls us to think about the deeper purpose. And so, yes, you have these elite routines and these systems that are, you know, is the practical way of incorporating that into our life. But you, your work is also around how can you get really intentional? What is actually the conscious focus and why does this matter? And this is what your work really anchors, Lara, which is why it's so powerful. And you, when we're talking about fears, you really allow that container to like to hold that growth, and that it makes it a lot easier to like have your support when you're in this situation and you're like, oh, and you're like, yep, you've got this. It just really, for anyone that's had this mentorship, you can really understand how it does help you get to that next level. And which is why your membership is called That Level Experience. I totally get that. But what I would love you to speak more about, Lara, is because this is something in my life that I identified very early on, was reclaiming my personal power. And I feel like this is a huge core aspect and a lot of work that I've done with you. What does that reclaiming personal power mean to you, and why is this so important to cultivate?
Yeah, personal power is such a big piece of the puzzle. It really is, because before I had really walked this journey myself, there was always something to blame. There was always something that wasn't going my way. There was always something that was happening to me. And I would feel really good and I would feel really confident and I would feel really sure of myself when the environment was conducive to that. So it was almost like this experience of, so long as everyone's really nice to me, so long as everyone is validating my experience, so long as everything is going my way, yeah, I feel great about myself. Like I feel confident. I feel like I'm able to go ahead and do the things that I really want to do. But that was a very circumstantial kind of power, because it was like, so long as the external environment is conducive, then I will be able to create the life that I want. Then I will be able to create the kinds of outcomes and results that I desire. And that is very different than having personal power, which is, I'm the kind of person that no matter what is going to take responsibility for herself, for her growth, and for her evolution. I'm the kind of person that no matter what is going to lead herself in the way that she wants to lead herself. I'm the kind of person that no matter what is going to make sure that in this lifetime, I don't leave anything on the table, that I'm here to fully express and be and do all that I'm destined to be. And this is like a really core pillar in my work, the personal power piece, because I think that a lot of the women that come in to work with me have experienced a lot of people-pleasing tendencies, have experienced a lot of overstretching themselves and making themselves uncomfortable just to make other people feel more comfortable. And so when we can become the kinds of people that really lead ourselves through thick and thin, that lead ourselves through the most difficult situations and the easy situations as well. You know, when things happen really seamlessly, it's like, this is great. Like, this is amazing. I can celebrate this. I can be grateful for when things are really easy and seamless and come together so beautifully in my life. But I also take equal responsibility for how I show up through the difficult parts of life as well. And so there's a real leadership piece in personal power where it takes a level of responsibility to say, I'm going to be the kind of person that takes responsibility for her own results and outcomes, whether they're good or bad. Even when I make mistakes, I'm going to show up and I'm going to say, I fully own this. I think that where we tend to get a little bit tripped up is we can sometimes make ourselves overly responsible for other people's experiences, overly responsible for other people's emotions or reactions. And then we're not fully responsible for ourselves. So it's like, I'm partly responsible for myself and I'm partly responsible for you, versus I'm fully responsible for me, you're fully responsible for you. And then we walk together in this journey, in this lifetime together. And I'm responsible for how I respond, how I react, how I do things. And so are you. So I'm not responsible for your reactions, but I'm responsible for how I respond and how I choose to react. And so personal power for me looks like the kind of woman who really leads herself, the kind of woman who really knows, like, I am the one to cultivate the kinds of outcomes that I desire in my life. I'm also the one to handle things when there's difficult moments, when there's difficult situations that inevitably arise throughout this journey. And I know that I'm the one. So yes, I'm cultivating and creating the kind of life that I desire. And I'm equally responsible for handling things when it's not so rosy and when things aren't so easy. And so for me, that's what that personal power piece really looks like, is I take responsibility for me. I sit in the CEO seat when it comes to my own life. I'm the one in the driver's seat. It doesn't matter what happened to me in the past. I'm choosing to lead myself in this new way moving forward. And I think that when we're able to step into that identity, because a lot of the times this is an identity shift of, I'm used to blaming the circumstances or blaming everyone around me for what I can and cannot have and do, versus I'm fully taking responsibility for how I show up, how I lead myself, how I do things, what I create, what I do and what I don't do. Like, I'm the one. And I think that when we can really step into that new identity, yes, there is more responsibility that comes with it, but the upside of it is enormous, because you get to realize that you're the kind of woman or person that can create whatever it is that you desire. And that is quite a spectacular mindset and belief system to have through this journey.
I love that, Lara, and especially how you talk about responding and not reacting. And like, I look at that from a karmic perspective as well, because then we're not creating the same patterns and loops. And that's what you have been really helpful for in my life, is when I've had these situations that have been uncomfortable and, you know, I have this set way of responding, or, you know, past what I would have done, and just to have this pattern interrupt has been, yeah, incredibly life-changing, just these tweaks. And that's what I noticed, like, having you in my life, there's just like this continuously higher standard. And this is why I love being around you, because you have this invisible force field where you, like, you kind of project these high standards, and it really makes everyone around you, I see them lift the standard and take that responsibility. And so that is definitely something that I've really been able to reclaim more of my personal power, especially when it has come back to that people pleasing, as you mentioned. The other thing that I found really incredible about your work, Lara, is around setting boundaries. And you have a really interesting take on boundaries, because I have this all or nothing personality. And you have really helped me, because I've been like, Lara, I'm setting this boundary. This is like A to B, and that's it. And you've recently said to me, it actually doesn't need to look like that. Like the boundaries can, work for both people, and you can really navigate this in a different way. And it was really mind-blowing to me. So I'd love you to speak about boundaries and personal power, because I think this is something that there's a lot of different takes on it. And I just love how you express it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I love this conversation and I love this question, because boundaries was one of the things that I had to work the hardest at as someone who really identified as a people pleaser. So much of my identity was really tied up in being the nice girl and being the good girl and being the friendly girl, and nothing is ever too much. And it doesn't matter how much I overstretch myself, I will do whatever just so that you don't feel uncomfortable, or I will do whatever I need to just so that it doesn't elicit some kind of negative emotional reaction from you, because I can't handle someone being angry at me. So there was a big piece of this, which was in the energetics work of really stretching my capacity to hold more and to actually be okay sitting with other people's anger and sitting with other people's negative emotions without internalizing it and without making it mean anything about me. So that was where a lot of this work really stemmed for me. So as a former people pleaser, as I like to say it, I really struggled with the boundaries, because what tended to happen for me was that I was so nice and so accommodating and yes, and like give it all to me, like that nothing's ever too much. But the thing is, I was willing to do that until it hit a certain point. And when it hit a certain point, there was this resent that would build up. There was like this passive aggressiveness that would come out. And it's like, well, that's not actually being very nice. And so what I found was that there's this beautiful balance between the all and the nothing. But you said between like A and B, it's more like A and Z. Like we have the sweet as pie, like all things sugar and spice, like that kind of persona, which is like, let me be really nice, let me be really pleasing. But then when this has been pushed enough times, there is this like night fighter version of me that will come out. And she'll be aggressive and she might snap and she might lose it at you. And there wasn't much in between. What I realized is that between the A and the Z, there's however many letters of the alphabet between that, you know. And I think that so many women are so worried that if they're not the super nice, pleasing lady, that they're going to look like the Z version of them, which is like this horrible monster that's mean. And you know, try and tell a pleasing lady, you're not nice. You know, that is one of the reasons why we won't act in accordance with our alignment, is because we're so worried about looking like the Z version. Mm. When we start to realize that there is a whole spectrum in between A and Z, that actually there is a way and a beautiful balance of, I'm an incredibly kind human being because that's who I am. But I also respect myself so much that I know what my limits are. And because I respect me and because I respect you, I would rather communicate, whether it's through my energetics or whether through verbal communication, what that boundary looks like. Because if I get to Z, which is I'm either A or Z, that's actually going to be much worse than being somewhere at a J. You know, like that's probably the best way I can almost like depict it at this point. So it's almost just recognizing that you can be all of it, that it's not one or the other. There's a beautiful spectrum in between of, I respect myself so much and I respect you. And because of that respect, there is a boundary here. And actually with this boundary, I'm going to be able to show up and be the best version of myself. You're going to get a better version of me, because it means that when I do give to you, it means that it's coming from such a pure, clean energy of I desire to do this for you. I would love to do this for you. And so everything that I do for people in my world, whether it's my husband, whether it's my friends, whether it's my family, whether it's my clients, is I love to do this for you. I want to do this for you. Mm-hmm. But I'm also very clear on there's certain things I won't do. There's certain boundaries that I have communicated with people, whether it's upfront or whether it's at some point along the journey where I've recognized my own boundaries have had to be refined. And I can communicate that in a way that is actually gracious. It doesn't have to result in an argument. It doesn't have to be a huge ordeal. It can actually be, you know, like, I love you. I care about you. I respect you. And I see us being in this relationship for a really long time. And so because of those reasons, I want to make sure that the way that I'm showing up in this relationship or in this container is sustainable and feels really squeaky clean. And so I would love to look at how we can maybe, you know, tighten some of these boundaries up or maybe not look at doing that anymore because, you know, I don't want to get to a point of us not being okay. It's my desire that we're always going to be okay. And this is the kind of thing that really does break down a lot of relationships is I feel like I've given you so much and now I'm resenting you because of it. A lot of relationships would be able to stay intact if we actually, again, built up our capacity to hold that difficult conversation and actually say, it's because I respect you. It's because I love you. It's because I respect me. It's because I love me that this boundary is in place. Not because of a lack of love or a lack of respect, but it's because of the love. It's because of the respect. And when I put those things in place, everyone gets a better version of me because there's never a moment in my business or in my personal life where I feel like I'm overgiving. It feels like an equitable, squeaky clean exchange. And that's how I really love to like navigate the boundaries piece in my personal life and in my professional life. So it doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be A or Z. There's a whole spectrum in between. The other thing that I will say in terms of the boundaries piece is that a lot of it is cultivated in the energetics work, that it's really about an 80% energetics thing and a 20% communication thing. And so when you do the solid internal work on your boundaries and you realize that you don't have to be the ultimate people pleaser to receive love and to receive validation, that you can actually respect yourself and know what your limits are, that you actually hold that from an energetic standpoint, which means that people will feel the boundary without you having to communicate what it is. And this is the beautiful way that it works. Like, you've been in my world for so long now, Tara, like we you know, like it's almost like an unspoken thing. And there's so much mutual respect there that it's like, I don't really have to have at this point conversations about people breaking boundaries. Like, occasionally something might come up, but it's quite rare now because the energetics work has been laid down as a foundation. And so people know it. The communication can come in place where I'm setting up a new container. And I might say, you know, as an example, I'm in Voxer supporting you between Monday and Friday, but on the weekend, I'm not in here. I might be if I feel like it, but you're going to get a better version of me Monday to Friday when I've actually taken that time to reset and refresh and renew and come in with my ability to be able to support you at the highest level. It's because I have the boundaries that I'm able to support you at the highest level. If I was available for everything always, all the time, well, that's when I think the resent might creep in and the exhaustion might creep in and the burnout starts to creep in. So it's all about laying down those solid foundations up front, knowing that you don't have to go from A to Z. You could maybe go from A to B or A to C or A to D. Like, there's so many different flavors of what that looks like, that there is a possibility of you being incredibly kind and respectful and gracious and still have your boundaries in place. And that's the way that I really love to look at it.
I love that, Lara. And that has been so helpful in my world, incredibly, in all areas, from, yeah, strengthening the relationships in my life to my both navigating both my corporate and my soul work. And yeah, so many things to touch on there. I would love our word for the year. Both of us have decided on focus.
Yes.
And so I feel this is just our Virgo coming out as well. And as you're speaking, I'm like, Lara is so Virgo sun. Like everything that you're talking about, the refinement, the personal growth, the structures, the systems, that purification process of wanting to refine to get to the best version of ourselves, and really that alchemical, you know, process of turning it all into gold. I can see so many of those qualities in you, but I would love you to speak about focus, because this is something that you talk about us being distracted all the time. And I feel that focus is so important, hence it's our word. Like we both mutually decided on it, but like separately. I'd love you to speak about focus and what that means for you and why you decided to have that as your word for this year.
I love that we both arrived at this word, and it just goes to show the alignment between you and I in terms of like how we wanted to really enter into 2024. And one of the things that I will say is that in a world full of distractions, in a world where everyone is competing for our attention, for our focus, for our time, for our energy, safeguarding your focus is one of the most underrated qualities and skills that you can cultivate. And it is something that you can cultivate, because focus is not something that you're born with. It's something that you master. It's something that you continue to work on. It's something that you continue to bring yourself back and remind yourself time and time again. And I remember having this conversation with you late last year, early into this year, where we had arrived at this word context, focus for the context of our 2024 year. And what that really represented for me was, it's so easy for me to do so many different things because I can. It's so easy for me to, you know, do 100 different things, have 100 different projects going. You know, I'm the kind of person that can handle a lot of moving parts and can, through my multifaceted nature, do lots of different things. And so just because we can do lots of different things doesn't mean that we necessarily should. And that was something that I had to get really clear with myself on, is I could continue to open up so many different programs, so many different things. I could go on so many different podcasts. Like I could do so many different things with my time, but every single time I'm saying yes to something, I'm saying no to something else. So what I really love to think about, and what really came through so strongly for me, was if we don't consciously choose what we're going to focus on, what we focus on effectively gets chosen for us. Because if you are not the one that is getting really clear on what it is you're going to do, what it is you're going to focus on, how you're going to spend your time, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, you end up falling into everyone else's plan. There's this quote by Jim Rohn that I live by. You've probably heard me say this a million times, but it's, if you do not create your own life plan, then you'll fall into someone else's life plan. Mm-hmm. And guess what they have planned for you? Not much. And so the reason why I really love to think about that is, if I'm not the one to drive forward and do the things that are in alignment with me, in alignment with my spirit, in alignment with my growth, my evolution, where I see my business, my work going, then I'm going to have a lot of different distractions along the way. And it's going to become very difficult for me to discern between what I should and shouldn't be doing. So what I love to do is I love to periodically look at what am I focusing on? And I may set that as a context for the year. I may set that as a context for them, like a mini context for the month, and say anything that's not this is a no. Mm-hmm. Anything that is either not like an 8 out of 10 on the excitement scale, on the like I'm thrilled to do this scale, anything that isn't in 100% alignment with who I am and where I see myself going, all that does not actively contribute to my growth, my evolution, my joy, you know, the enjoyment of my life, it's a no. And so when you become really clear on what you're going to focus on, it makes it a lot easier to say no to the million other requests that come in that can so easily take your time, energy, focus away from your core growth and impact that you want to make. The other piece is that the distractions are immense. And I think that when we actually realize how much of our focus and time gets taken away, whether it's mindlessly scrolling, whether it's the latest meme that someone sent you, like, you know, whatever it might be, it's like all of those little things just seem like a minute here, a minute there, but it all stacks up. And then when we get back to the end of the week or the end of the year, we're like, where did that week go? Mm. I feel like I was so busy, but I don't actually have anything to show for it. What I love to help people do is to focus their energy so that they're really clear on, well, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm not doing. And then you actually have something tangible to show for your efforts and for your hard work. What I see a lot is I feel really busy, but actually if I were to be a fly on the wall in your day and I witnessed and observed your behavior, you know, there's looking busy and then there's actually being productive. They look like the same thing, but the outcome and the output of those two things is worlds apart. One is, you know, I scrolled through Instagram, shuffled a bunch of papers, reorganized my pantry for the 32nd time. You know, like it's all those things, which is great, but that's not great if that wasn't your intention for the day, for the week, for the year. So it's that intentionality of what am I consciously creating here? What am I consciously choosing to focus in on? Let me get really clear on what those one or two or three core things are that I'm going to really delve deep and double down in this year. Everything else is a no for now. Doesn't mean that there may not be a season where you say yes to all the opportunities and invitations, like you're allowed to have that. But if like real deep work and mastery and intentionality, like if these are the things that you're craving, your soul desires, you know you're here to do big things, you're the one to make that happen. You're the one that has to get crystal clear on this is what I'm available for and this is what I'm not available for. And it starts with asking yourself those initial questions of what do I want to focus on? What does that look like if I were to really double down on these one or two things and really saw those through and said no to everything else for this next season?
And that's what you have been so pivotal in helping me with, like keep on anchoring me back into that focus. So you do this as a zoomed out version, but then you also have your boss planning method, which is that weekly recalibration. And so I do this every Sunday evening and I look at my week coming up and I really see what are those key things that I want to get done. And before this, Lara, I don't know how I was living my life. Like I just was, you know, like you said, I was just getting lumped with these things that like, and I was super busy, but like I didn't know what those outcomes were or why I was doing it or how to really focus and direct my energy. So that has been a huge change for me. And a lot of people ask me, and I'm sure you get this as well, Lara, like, you know, how are you doing it all? And like, I have to refer back to your work. I'm like, this is because of these systems, these processes, but coming back to that laser focus, getting this intentional life. And that's what I really think that we have that same value of, this intentional living. Like, yes, I want to do this. Like, what's the why behind me doing it? And keep on having that depth and coming back to what is important is always the anchor point. So I love this. I just lastly wanted to ask you, Lara, your self-investment. Could you speak about how you think it's important to invest in a mentor, to invest in your growth? Because I think that it's something that people are hesitant to do. And I have core things that my mum was incredible for this, because she always said, you know, investment in yourself, in your personal growth, is the greatest investment that you can do, because, you know, you're betting on yourself, right? So I'd love to know your philosophy around investing in your personal growth.
Yeah, I love that your mum really instilled mm-hmm. that in me. That is so beautiful. And I really share the same sentiment. I really believe that every single time I've invested in myself, it has paid the greatest dividends. And it may not always be an immediate return. It could be something that I learned and then 10 years later, I'm seeing the return of that investment. You know, an example of that could be, I was incredibly shy. People find it so hard to believe that when I tell them, but it's the truth. I was incredibly shy. I was invited onto someone else's podcast show. I completely tanked. You know, like, these are skills that I've really had to cultivate. But I knew that if I worked on my communication skills, I knew that if I worked on building up my presence, if I knew that if I built, you know, my conviction within myself, that it was something that was going to pay return far beyond that initial investment. Like, this is just one facet of what I've invested in. And so, as an example, I went and hired a mentor, the absolute best of the best, before it made financial sense, before it made logical sense to do that. And people would question and be like, I cannot believe you've spent that much money on, you know, a 2-hour session with someone. And I'm like, well, I know this person is the best. These are skills that I want to develop. This is what I want to cultivate. I know where I want to go. I know who I want to be. Why not pay that money and collapse that time around it so that I can get to where I want to get faster? You know, like, I can spend my entire life trying to figure things out on my own, and eventually I'll probably get there. Or I could collapse time around it by paying someone who's already lived it. You know, someone who's already gone through that experience, that someone that can already see the pathway forward. And actually, in that one conversation, it unlocks so much for me that that's where the quantum leaps are. You know, that's mm-hmm. where the illogical growth happens, through the illogical decisions. If you want mediocre results and a mediocre life, then do what mediocre, you know, what the average person would do, which is, let me just get by, let me not really invest in myself, let me just try and, you know, figure this out and struggle through my life on my own. Like, that's one avenue. And I see a lot of people live their life that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's no right or wrong around this. It's a desire. I desire to get to where I want to get to quicker. I desire to expedite the amount of wisdom that I have so that I can make more of an impact in the time that I have to make it. You know, and so for me, a lot of the investments that I've made some very big financial investments, but it's always been, I'm a sure thing. That's mm-hmm. how I've gone into the investment mindset of, like, I know if I bet on myself, it's a sure thing mm-hmm. because I make it a sure thing. Every time I invest in myself, it pays 10 times the initial investment in terms of what I put down financially. You know, and so I really believe that we can spend our lives figuring things out on our own, or we can choose to work with a mentor, someone who aligns closely with our values, someone that's maybe just sometimes two or three steps ahead. And it's like, ugh, like you're here now. Okay, cool. I know exactly how to lead you through this because I've just gone through it myself. There's a value to that. And for me, I really believe in growth and evolution and refinement over the course of my lifetime. Sometimes it is like big things that change the trajectory of our lives. And in other times, it's the refinement. It's the 2% tweaks that it's like, ugh, that just reframed that completely differently for me. Or you mentioned patterns and conditioning before. Like I've been living my life with these patterns for decades. Now I can see how this was keeping me safe, but safe is an energetic match for small and small results. So if I can tweak that, it's a 2% shift and it leads to exponential outcomes. Why would I not want that? And I think that that's why I really believe in this work and in this profession, is because I continue to invest in myself in this way. And because I continue to lead myself in that way, I'm able to continue to lead my clients to where I'm, you know, to what I've seen, to what I'm doing, because I'm not just saying, oh, I've invested once and I got myself here and, you know, that's the end of the journey. I'm like, I'm in this for my lifetime. I'm in this for life. My growth and evolution is for life. I'm going to constantly be a work in progress. I'm going to be constantly refining. And so what would it look like? What does that next level look like? Because there's always a next level available to us if we choose to step into it. That's what I'm interested in.
Oh, thank you, Lara. Before we go, I would love you to speak about the community that I'm in your world with. You have cultivated this extraordinary, beautiful women that have come together and they all celebrate and, yeah, hold such an incredible space. I have to say, I've been in masterminds and spaces like this before, but nothing quite like what you have created. So could you just tell us how we can work deeper with you and your community as well?
Oh, thank you for this, Tara. Well, I love having you part of my community, and you're such an important part of that. And I think what's been quite extraordinary is just the caliber and the types of women that have really come into my world. They're really extraordinary women, and they all know that they're here to do big things. They all know that they're here to make a positive impact. They all have incredible intentions with what they're doing and how they're doing it, even though they may be expressing it in different ways. You know, there's people that are in corporate, there's people that are entrepreneurial, there's people that are a combination of both of those things. Like, it's just people that know that they're here for greatness. And they know, again, it's like going back to, I could probably figure these things out at some point, or I could come into a community of like-minded women and be held in that extraordinary space where we're celebrating each other's wins and achievements and holding each other through the tougher times as well. And so the Uplevel Experience, it is my signature membership program. It is one that I started around, I'm going to say 16 months ago or something like that. It's just continued to evolve, grow, get even better and better. And it's really for the woman who knows she's ready to uplevel every arena of her life, because success to me is not just let me make a lot of money and get far in my career and then the rest of my life blows up in smoke. Success to me means all of it. It means let me have the career success, the financial success, but also let me work on my emotional intelligence, my communication skills, my relationships. Like, I desire extraordinary relationships in my life, my style, the way that I speak, the way that I enter a room, like all of these things matter to me, my standards, my boundaries, like all of that. And so the Uplevel Experience really gives you an opportunity to like calibrate to that next level and continue to deepen that work with me. I've actually just recently changed it. So there are three core ways that you can come in. You can come in to the full-blown experience, which is a 12-month commitment. You can come in for 1 month and immerse yourself for 1 month and see how you feel. You can almost like try before you buy and have 1 month pass and receive access to everything for 1 month. And then we've also created a self-paced journey as well, where you can have access to all of the content calls and essentially trade it for your Netflix time and watch your life become unrecognizable. So it's quite extraordinary. So that's kind of my core membership offering. And I really love it. Like incredible women like you come into the space, and really that community piece. I think there's such an intrinsic value to having women that are all on this journey together. So yeah, that's what the membership looks like.
Thank you so much, Lara. And I'm going to put in the show notes every way to contact you and your website. And thank you for taking this time. And thank you for, being in my world and really holding those high standards and, allowing that conscious and intentional focus and empowerment. Thank you, Lara.
Thank you so much, Tara. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor to be here with you today and to be part of your podcast. I really love the work that you do. It really is extraordinary. And I think that you very much are the embodiment of a star being. So thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, Lara.
Thanks for tuning into Star Being. May the wisdom shared resonate in your soul. Until next time, stay connected and keep reaching for the stars. This is Star Being signing off.